Hello again, everybody. This is Doug Hagan. You're listening to If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right. Before I do the show this week, I want to apologize for not having a show last week. Going through a personal issue right now that has been very painful for me. Young lady I've friended, become like a daughter to me. And this right now won't speak to me for whatever reason. It's breaking my heart, and I thank you for your prayers and support. I hope everything turns out well, or at least she tells me at some point what the deal is. But anyway, thank you. And this week, just a variety of stuff to talk about here on If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right. Liberals, don't stop being crazy because I'm suffering. So let's go. Radio. Remember our Facebook page, remember my blog, thedelegator.wordpress.com. And the big story this week has been the firing, the dismissal, the shit canning, the 86ing, the showing the door, the exit stage left, right, and every other stage from NPR of Juan Williams. Now, Juan Williams is a Fox News contributor. He used to be a regular on CNN's Crossfire. He's a well-known author, and he's a liberal. There's no doubt about it. I think I've agreed with Juan Williams once or twice over the years. But Juan Williams has been fired by NPR, which is, well, kind of an honor for him, I guess. I like the guy better because he's fired from that leftist cesspool of vipers. But this is the quote on Fox News, not on NPR, by the way, that got him fired from NPR. He was talking to Bill O'Reilly on his show. And Bill O'Reilly's ego took a break long enough to let someone else speak. And Juan says, "Look, Bill, I'm not a bigot. You know the kind of books I've written about the civil rights movement in this country. But when I get on a plane, I gotta tell you, if I see people who are in Muslim garb, and I think, you know, they are identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried, I get nervous." So, you know, I think this would be a pretty common sentiment for anyone. I mean, if you're at the airport, you see a group of people dressed in Muslim garbs, and maybe they're acting a certain way, being loud with their prayers or something, you might wonder, you might get anxious. But NPR fired him for this because it's such a radical statement, I guess, in their twisted minds anyway. But the thing is this. People have made the point that if Juan Williams had said, you know, if he stops at a gas station somewhere in Tennessee and he sees a large group of white kids in John Deere caps, he might get nervous. He wouldn't get fired for that. I have a better example for you. Years ago on CNN's Crossfire, there was a debate over the Confederate flag or some similar topic. And Juan Williams made the statement that and compared Confederate soldiers to Nazis. Now, that's an opinion. I don't know if I would ran the show at CNN, then if I would have fired him, I don't think I would have. But that's an extremely hateful, bigoted comment. Far worse than what he said that got him axed at NPR. And if he had, on his NPR show, said the very same thing, he would not have been fired. He would have been lauded as a tolerant, inclusive, sensitive liberal. Because we know certain groups aren't included in the inclusion of the tolerant left. And Southerners who are proud of their heritage definitely aren't included in the tolerance category. And Chris Wysocki at his blog, The Why Blog, made a good point too. You know, Rachel Maddow, again, I did not call her Rachel Mad Cow. I refuse to compare her to a devastating disease found in beef, because that disease is better than Rachel Maddow. But she is employed by MSNBC. I know this because someone told me. The rumor is, anyway, I don't think anybody actually watches MSNBC anymore. But on her show, she said something not too long ago that is far worse than what Juan Williams said. This is her quote. "Yes, this happened to a smaller degree before in 1994. In the first midterm election after the last Democratic president was elected, we got a slate of candidates that included Helen Chenoweth of Idaho and Steve Stockman of Texas. These were so close to the militia movements in this country that Mr. Stockman actually received advance notice that the Oklahoma City bombing was going to happen." Now, other than being complete and utter unsubstantiated bullshit, which is pretty much what Rachel Maddow says all the time. Anyway, I mean, this is absolutely wacky, crazy thing to say. Yet she's still employed. There's no firestorm of controversy. The media has this double standard fascination with race and what you can say, what you can't say. Basically, liberals can say whatever they want, unless they dare stray over into slightly conservative thoughts, as Juan Williams did. The conservatives can't say anything at any time about anybody. And it's odd. It is truly odd that the left paints themselves as tolerant. They talk that talk. They don't walk the walk. They're extremely intolerant, as Juan Williams has found out. And hopefully that'll help his maturation process in life. And yes, maybe he'll become actually more conservative, because yes, when you move from being a liberal to a conservative, you are maturing, you are growing up, you are, you know, becoming a better, bigger, more rational, sane person. And NPR can't fire me for saying that, because I don't work for NPR, and I wouldn't work for NPR. Ever. And there's one more thing I want to add about this. It has always fascinated me that certain things can't be talked about. And I said a few weeks ago on the show that Islamophobe is the new N-word. Just like you have to be so careful when talking about any black person who is liberal, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, because of the race card being thrown at you. And the N-word, and the such a stigma to it. Islamophobes, the new N-word. Radical Muslims are going to use this word to try to frighten and scare and intimidate anyone who would criticize them or challenge them into silence. The left has made it work with the N-word and the use of the race card, and Islamophobes, nothing different. It is simply just another tactic to get you and I and everyone else that opposes them to shut up. I would urge you, do not shut up. Stand up and speak up. And if they don't like what you say, let them say what they're going to. Rational people will get it. Rational people will know that you're right, they're wrong. And the few nutcases out there that are going to believe them over you, screw them. They don't count. If you go out to a cow pasture at night barefoot, you will step in better things than these people are. So don't worry about it. screw them again. Yes. The great line from, was that with Anthony Hopkins movie? They're out in Montana. Where he says, screw them! Not River Runs Through It, or Legends of the Fall. That was it, Legends of the Fall. Very good movie. Brad Pitt was in it. It was good despite his presence. The lovely Julie Ormond with her lovely British accent was in it. It's a good movie, though. Very good movie. You should watch it. Every time it comes on, I tend to watch it. It's one of those movies. Now, on to something a little bit lighter. Something good in my life. Something happy. My Texas Rangers. Yes, the Texas Rangers are the American League champions. They're going to play in the World Series against either the Phillies or the Giants. And they made the playoffs first time in 11 years, fourth time in their history. This year they beat the Rays in the first round. And then they beat the hated, despised, detestable New York freaking Yankees. And it's such a good feeling to beat Yankees, the Yankees, not because they're the greatest baseball team, this incredible storied franchise. It's good to beat the Yankees because of their scumbag fans who act like they're benighted and owed something. And it's good to beat them because of the sports media types that if the Yankees aren't in the World Series, it's not worth watching. No one will care. Yankees. Shut up. The Yankees are done. The Rangers are in the World Series. It's going to be a good World Series either way. I'm picking the Rangers to beat either the Phillies or the Gigantes to be multicultural. Doesn't matter. Rangers will win the World Series. This is a good baseball team. They've come together at the right time. They have the best pitcher in baseball, Cliff Lee. And just a bunch of characters, a really good, tight-knit team. And this is fun stuff. And by the way, anyone out there who's a Yankee fan, I'm not calling you a scumbag. There's a lot of Yankee fans that are, well, you know. I'm talking about them. It's good to stick it in their craw. Because those people never deserve to have a winning team. They're like Philadelphia Eagle fans. Who, by the way, the Eagles never will win a championship. You know why, Eagle fans? Because of you. Karma won't allow scumbags like you to ever have a championship team. You reap what you sow, Eagle fans. Now, there's another story. And this is an older story that keeps popping up from time to time. Actually, it's kind of two stories. Because the Washington Post actually did some, say it with me, journalistic work into the new Black Panther voter intimidation case that you probably are familiar with, where in Philadelphia, November of 2008, there's a polling place there, and two pretend badasses from the new Black Panthers dressed up in their black berets and their racist approved black garb, and one had a nightstick, and they were, you know, they yelled at one white voter trying to, what are you doing here, cracker, and said things like, this, you're going to be ruled by the black man, and blah blah blah. But it was caught on video of them trying to intimidate voters. The police were called. One of them wasn't a poll worker. He was asked to leave, but the Bush Justice Department filed charges of voter intimidation. The Obama Hope and Change Justice Department, led by Eric Holder, refused or dropped the charges, just basically dismissed the case. And there were allegations that there was what some would call reverse racism here, that the Justice Department under Obama and Eric Holder is not interested in voter intimidation unless it goes a certain way. In other words, if you're white and you get intimidated, too bad. Well, the Washington Post actually did some journalistic work for once. See, they can do it, they just don't want to. But this is from their newspaper. The Post has a major revelation, the first on the record confirmation of the attitude inside the Civil Rights Division that whites should not necessarily be protected by civil rights laws. Here's the quote. The Voting Rights Act was passed because people like Bull Connor were hitting people like John Lewis, not the other way around, said one Justice Department official not authorized to speak publicly, referring to the white Alabama police commissioner who cracked down on civil rights protesters such as Lewis, now a Democratic congressman from Georgia. So apparently the attitude is that if Whitey's getting cracked in the head, he probably deserves it somehow, and he's probably a Republican. And he probably should be hit twice in the head as a Republican. And maybe he's even conservative. He should probably be beaten to death at that point, according to the Eric Holder, Obama Hope and Change Justice Department. This is stark. Because people inside there, inside the Civil Rights Division Justice Department, had said, yeah, there's a problem here. It's a one-way street with voter intimidation. The Post continues, this is a startling admission. Really? You think? This is a startling admission. It is part and parcel of wide hostility to protecting whites who are victims of racial discrimination, as Christopher Coates and Adams alleged all along. That admission is a major mistake for the administration and should be made well known before the upcoming election. Now, hold it there a second. I'm not sure what they mean that admission is a major mistake. Is the admitting it the mistake? Or is the mistake the policy? The admission isn't the mistake. It's the policy that's the mistake. That should be noted here. But anyway, the Post continues. Three Justice Department lawyers speaking on the condition of anonymity because they feared retaliation from their supervisors described the same tensions among career lawyers as well as political appointees. Employees who worked on the Brown case were harassed by colleagues, they said, and some department lawyers anonymously went on legal blogs, absolutely tearing apart anybody who was involved in that case, said one lawyer. So you've got intimidation of other lawyers who may feel differently, who may not toe the line. This is, again, classic thuggism, classic thuggery. And we've seen this the Chicago way, the thuggish way, the union way. We've seen that throughout the Obama administration. And it continues. And here is, as Andrew Breitbart calls it, the money quote from the Post. There are career people who feel strongly that it is not the voting section's job to protect white voters, the lawyer said. The environment is that you better toe the line of traditional civil rights ideas, or you better keep quiet about it, because you will not advance, you will not receive awards, and you will be ostracized. Again, thuggism. Hope and Change from Obama? How about hope and thuggery? How about lack of hope and thuggery? How about voter intimidation? This is your hope and change. This is what you idiot liberals and you some idiots who are so obsessed with voting for the black guy. That's what you get. You ignored his past. You ignored his ties. You ignored his radicalism. You ignored his Marxist friends, his family, everybody else around him, a Marxist. You avoided, ignored, the media definitely ignored his ties to a racist, I'm not going to say radical, a racist congregation led by racist rant Reverend Wright. You ignored all that. And guess what? You ended up getting a radical Marxist in the White House. And you ended up getting a radical Marxist who leads a increasingly Marxist Democratic Party majority in both houses. And it is ripping this country to shreds with spending, with waste, with thuggism, with Obamacare, which, by the way, the media is starting to find out. CNN had a piece about this that you won't be able to keep your insurance. You won't be able to have a high deductible policy. You won't be. And those all the things that Sarah Palin and those nutty right-wingers said about Obamacare is true. And CNN finally admitted it, finally reported it a long time after it's become law. That's the problem with the media. They might report something after. They should have done their work and reported it before. But again, it didn't matter because our would-be masters in Congress and our would-be master in the White House didn't give a damn about what we wanted or the Constitution or the will of the people. They cared about shoving their radical Marxist agenda as far down our freaking throats as they could. So next time, instead of being enthralled because you're voting for a woman or a black guy or this or that, instead of playing identity politics, why don't you look at the qualifications? The American voter, I hope, has turned a corner since 2008. I hope it's going to be issues-based, ideology-based, principles-based, and not identity voter-based in future U.S. elections. And we've got a big one coming up very soon. And one man that might not be around after this election, except to clean out his office and be prepared for retirement, is a man from Nevada, a soft-spoken man, a man of great intellect, a man who has saved the world from a massive depression. The man I speak of is Senator Harry Reid. Now, Harry Reid's in a desperate fight to keep his Senate seat. Apparently, their latest poll numbers were 50% for Sharon Angle, his opponent, who's some radical who believes in something called the Constitution. And Harry Reid is about 3 points behind within the margin of error of the poll. And Harry's a brilliant man. He's just done so much for the world, and his damn voters are too stupid to figure out what he's done. This is what Harry Reid said recently about America, our economy, and everything else. This is great stuff. I never knew Harry Reid was a second coming. Actually, I guess he'd be the third coming because Obama was the second coming. So yeah, he's the third coming. We were at the top. We've fallen very hard. So people have been hurting, and I understand that. And it doesn't give them the comfort or solace for me to tell them, you know, but for me, we'd be in a worldwide depression. Really? Harry Reid not only stopped the depression here in the United States of America, he stopped it all over the world. All praise be to Harry Reid, Senator Weaseldick, the depression killer. You have got to be freaking kidding me. He's also said recently of his Republican opponent, Sharon Angle, that she wouldn't have freed the slaves in the 1860s. Can you say desperation? Can you say pathetic? Can you say loser? Can you say soon to be unemployed? I think we can, Senator Weaseldick. But let's continue with Harry Reid's incoherent ramblings of his greatness that he wants to impart upon us. They want to know what I've done for them. And that's why it's important for me, any chance I get, to say that my number one job is to create jobs, Reid said, blasting Angle for saying it's not the role of government to create jobs. Again, Sharon Angle has actually read the Constitution. Harry Reid has read it, and, well, he likes the Marxist, you know, what Communist Manifesto a lot better. Reid is desperate. So many Democrats are. There's a recent story this week. There's about a dozen more Democrats that are running for re-election or in the House who the Democratic Congressional Committee has basically thrown under the bus. They've cut the funding. They're not going to throw any more money into the election of people like Alan Grayson. You know Alan Grayson, everyone's favorite radical Democrat. This guy's going to be on MSNBS soon, I guarantee it. He'll have his own show, Cooking Children with Alan Grayson or something. He's a complete douchebag, a complete nut, and truly a vile human being. This goes beyond politics. Grayson is a vile, vile man. and he's going to be gone, as several others are too. Actually, many Democrats are. The House is almost definitely going to be in Republican hands. Which brings me to another point. A buddy of mine, blogging buddy, Jimmy Bice at the Sundry Shack. Very good blogger, good guy. Not as handsome as I am, but he's a good guy. And he has noticed a trend I've noticed in the media. And it's this. The media knows the killing is a-coming. They know the Democrats are going to be tossed out. And now the question becomes, will the Republicans plead? Will they work with Democrats? Will they try to be bipartisan? Will they reach across the aisle and hold hands and eat Oreos and sing Kumbaya with Democrats? Well, that's the question the media is going to raise. They raise these idiotic questions because they think the American people are stupid enough to fall for it. But the thing about this is Jimmy Bice asked the perfect question. It's not will they compromise, but why in the blue hell would they or should they compromise? There should be none. The poll numbers are clear. I mean, there's a reason that Democrats are going to lose a big majority in the House and lose control of the House. There's a reason, there's a good chance they're going to lose the Senate too. And Bice writes, The MSM, mainstream media, desperately wants to cast Republicans as the bad guys. Should they take over the House, Senate, or both? Of course, those sort of hand-wringing stories weren't all at all rife over the last few years, as a Democratic majority in both houses used every dirty trick in the book to bull rush their totalitarian agenda past the Republican minority. But these stories miss the real question, which isn't if the GOP will compromise, but why they should. Every recent poll shows that the voting public hate the progressive agenda the Democrats have foisted upon us. They want hope and change undone, and the new solution of an ascendant GOP, which are really nothing more than the time-tested principles of conservatism put in their place. And why shouldn't they get the chance? We gave Democrats exactly what they wanted, unstoppable congressional majorities, and he screwed it up so badly that they couldn't even sell their own members on their agenda without trickery. It seems only fair that we treat a massive wave election as a mandate for the new Republican majority to put its plans in place. If we don't like them, we'll have our chance in 2012 and 2014 to get rid of them. That's how democracy works. Now, you said it great. You said it incredibly well. That's exactly it. Elections have consequences. Democrats had their shot. They had their chance. But here's the real question for me. The GOP leadership, they always, as soon as you think they got it and they're really in tune, they get back into the, oh, we want to be liked mode. We want to get along mode. We don't want to alienate anybody. We want to be bipartisan. We want to work with the other guys. Stop that, GOP. Look up the word mandate. Figure it out. And in January of 2011, start doing what the hell we elected you to do. Or get out. I don't care. But just do the right thing for once. Find your balls, find your spine, and remember why you were put in there, why you were elected. Everything will be good. Trust me. Trust me. I'm a professional at this stuff. And folks, I want to make sure that this is said and understood. People were asking me in some emails recently why I would say the things I say and blog about the things I blog about and express the opinions I have. And some of it's the same old stuff. You know, why do you hate black people? Why do you hate Hispanics? Why do you hate immigrants? Why do you think women are lesser? I wish liberals would think before they speak and before they email people. Think. If someone has something to say, as I do, and I say it, listen and study what I say. don't just go with the same mind-numb talking points of, well, you said Jesse Jackson's a race pimp, so you must be a racist. Why don't you look at the history of Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and the leadership of the NAACP? Why don't you do that? Instead of saying I'm anti-woman because I'm pro-life, why don't you look at what abortion actually is? Why don't you look at the medical evidence of what abortion is? Why not? Think. Instead of just reacting, think. You're a liberal. You're open-minded, right? You're always telling everybody you are. Then act open-minded. And November 2nd, when you go to vote, be open-minded then, too. Don't just assume that the Democrat has the best interest of you and the country at heart. Look at their track record. Look what they want to do. Look at all the candidates. And make sure you understand. The country should come before party affiliation. It should come before anything else. And the good of the country should be the number one goal. And for the good of the country, we have to return to the Constitution. Those who make fun of the Constitution, those who make fun of those who defend the Constitution, why would you ever vote for those people? Why would you vote for a party that went against the Constitution, went against the will of the people, and shoved Obamacare down our throat? Even if you agreed with what Obamacare does, shouldn't you have higher principles than that? And before anyone emails me calling me a racist, a homophobe, a bigot, Islamophobe, blah, 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 at least write some new material, please. I'm going to plan on doing a show here in a week or two, and I want to do emails and answer them on this show. But for the love of God, give me something to answer. Don't give me the same old things that sound like they're written by a retarded 12-year-old. Seriously, you're such an open-minded, intelligent liberal. Act like it. Step up to the plate. Man up. And ask me some questions I can actually respond to, because they have some intellectual merit. You can do it. I have faith in you. That's it for this week, my friends. I appreciate, again, your prayers and ask you to continue them. I could use them right now. I will talk to you next week. Same time, same channel. Remember our Facebook page. Remember my blog, thedailygator.wordpress.com, that I do with Edward Daly. And remember, of course, that you can come here and chat with the hosts every week when their show is on, and give them a hard time. Especially Amy, of all on Amy. I think she might be a Yankee fan. And make sure you say, "Go Rangers!" to her a lot. She likes to hear that, I think. But anyway, that's it for this week, my friends. Good night. God bless. I will talk to you all again very soon. Take care.